And it's another episode of the One Mic Stand with Simply May. I am Simply May in full effect. Thank you so much for taking some time this Sunday evening to chat with us. We have a really great topic coming for you. We're going to be talking about the DC Council at large and speaking with candidate Jeremiah Lowry. We talked last week. We were talking about everyone being willing to march, and the question was posed, who will run? Well, apparently Jeremiah will. So we started off real strong with some Aretha Franklin respect, because we need a candidate that has some respect for all of the various kinds of people that live here in this city. I think Jeremiah might be that guy. And so in listening to the show today, see if you're here local in Washington, D.C., if this gentleman can earn your vote or at least get you to pay some attention to his campaign, because I know I'm looking out. But before we get into that, we want to thank the sponsors that ensure that we can do what we do every Sunday at 7 p.m. We are a part of Stand Omni Media. Stand Omni Media is a diversified digital brand that uplifts the cultures and voices that are most often silenced, like a black little queer girl like me. Anywho, you think you have what it takes to have a Stand Omni Media show, I think you should reach out. We'd love to have you as a sibling show. And you can reach www.wheredoyoustand, that's the letter, not the word, .com. Some of our sibling shows include Stay Woke Radio, which is hosted by some teen leaders under the Future Foundation's production. We also have The Whole Hive, bunch of sex-positive ladies bringing you what you need nights on Tuesday evenings. And your show could be a part of the lineup as well, so definitely reach out. Also, if you know anything about lesbian dating, you know about Eve for Eve Online, the premier lesbian dating website. You want to become familiar with them at www.eve4eveonline.com. They are also available on every social media network that exists at EVE Online. EVE Online as well. So find your Eve with Eve for Eve Online. Taste is coming up, hosted by our host of the Whole Hive. You definitely want to go to their Halloween excursion taking place on October 28th. Early bird ticket sales are over, but you can go to Taste Touch feel.eventbrite.com and get you started. You know that you can inbox us at the One Mic Stand Show for your discount code. If you are interested in being a sponsor of the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay or any other Stand Omni Media show, please send an email to info@wheredoyoustand.com or visit the wheredoyoustand.com website. We're going to get into another song and then our lively conversation with our guest.
I'll try.
We can't get any satisfaction in DC politics these days if you're looking for equity and not just equality. And even, you know, there's not even any equality, but some would say so. I'm very excited to be chatting with Mr. Jeremiah Lowry. You're live on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
All is well that ends well, you know. It ain't no end to the fat lady things. I'm maintaining. How have you been on the campaign trail?
It's been good. It's been good. You know, running at large, so we're throughout this city, you know. So it's been a beautiful experience. You know, one day we're out, talking to neighbors in Anacostia or Congress Heights. You know, the next day we're in Petworth, meeting with parents. So it's good, you know. And I think the number one thing that's on people's minds right now is housing. The fact that a lot of folks can't afford housing in D.C. I was out at in Charlotte today, campaigning. I was about to talk to a resident, but he was like, "Good luck, man. I'm on my way out of D.C." There are a lot of concerns that are similar on the minds of a lot of residents these days. So, but it's been good. It's been a blessing.
I'm glad you're enjoying yourself thus far. We've got some time. So, slow and steady wins the race. I kind of want to back up from the actual campaign trail and get into some questions about you, not as a candidate, more so as an individual. So could you share a bit with our listeners where you're from?
I consider myself a hybrid, born in D.C., raised in parts of PG, spent a lot of my time early years in PG County, summer spent at my grandmother's house in D.C. I'm a little bit of a hybrid. So, I was born in D.C., but raised in D.C. and PG County.
Did you come from a family that was politically involved?
No. They voted, as my grandmother said, it's Marion Barry on the ballot, typical black voter, There was no political involvement whatsoever. They voted straight Democratic, and that kind of was the end of the story,
I definitely understand that. So what kind of shaped or informed how you began to be activated or politicized, so to speak?
I tell people just being, growing up in an area, living in D.C., you can't help but be politicized, When you get your utility bill, or when you get your when you see how much housing costs, or you see how much childcare costs, you kind of have to wonder something's up with that, When you realize that you're suffering and day to day you can't make ends meet, but yet the city has so much wealth that you see people in luxury condos and beautiful cars and stuff like that. So that's kind of what politicized me, the fact that in the city where I'm from, there's a lot of people. There's some people with a lot, and then some people very little, and I began to wonder why, and that became my political process,
Did you find that a lot of people, maybe outside of your family, but in your immediate circles, were like-minded?
I could say so. My family's a church family, so, we're probably, what you call you're like a regular, black folks, they know something's wrong, but they really can't pinpoint it, I say college was kind of I was able to, through college, I was able to articulate better what was going on, but what college did I go to?
Mm-hmm.
University of Maryland, College Park.
Oh, okay. They're having a lot of race relation problems down there at this point.
It's a ton. You know, Maryland was a growing experience for me too, you know, because when I was a freshman in University of Maryland College Park, there were, you know, students who would write the N-word on people's dry erase boards and stuff like that. You know, there was a lot of, you know, there was brutality issues. There was a lot of racial issues in Maryland. It still is, you know, as you mentioned. So
what were you doing the day before you decided to run for office? Like, give us the short version of your resume prior to candidate for DC at large council.
Before that, I was trying to survive. You know, no, but really, I was organizing, and I'm still organizing parents in the city around access to child care. That's one of, you know, my top policy positions. Is one of my passions right now. So I was, you know, organizing parents to, you know, ensure that everyone has access to high-quality child care. Doing some environmental organizing as well. And, you know, I'm a part of the Food Policy Council, so I'm trying to, you know, work with parents, work with schools to procure healthier food to the D.C. Public school system, as well as, you know, fighting for other issues like public financing and campaign finance reform in the district right now.
Wow. Clean air, child care for the baby, and healthy food for all. That sounds catchy. That's sounding kind of catchy to me. I don't see any problems with it. So we talked about what you were doing before you ran for office. Can you kind of walk us through this thought process that led you to say, fuck it, I'm going to do it? Because it's really that sense. It's nothing more intellectual. It's nothing, you know, it's a fuck it, I'm going to do it. What got it?
I agree. That was my mentality. It's like, you know, fuck it, I'm going to do it. You know, that's, I, you know, when people ask me, why did I decide to run for office? I usually just want to say, fuck it, I decided to do it. You know, but I got to give them real, you know, I got to give them another answer sometimes, the more thought out answer. But like, it's really boils down to, fuck it, I'm going to do it. You know, I guess for me, you know, I realized at this point we're in with the, you know, Trump administration and, you know, fact administration. And then you look at local politics and you look at year, you know, election year after election year, you know, politicians aren't really talking about anything. I'm talking about D.C. politicians. They're not talking about anything. Each election year, it's the same old story. You know, none of the issues that we've been talking about, you know, on the forums and, you know, at the restaurants, the bars, amongst our friends, issues we're most passionate about, they aren't being discussed during election time. You know, politicians all want to sound the same so they don't, you know, so nothing sounds risky so they can get elected. So I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. You know, there's some issues that I'm passionate about that I believe will transform the city, you know. So I decided to jump in there and do it. As simple as that, you know. Why not? Why wait? Why not right now?
The power. Fuck it. Let's do it. Fight the power. And we're going to get back and we're going to talk about some of these issues that you're going to be fighting, both in conversation as you run and, you know, if, when you win.
Playback.
We got the pump to start to make it up. From the heart, it's the start of work of art to revolution. cannot make a change, something's great. We all the same, no one not the same, cause we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't get careless. You say, what is this? I'm beloved, let's get down to business. Mental self-defense fitness. So let's get going.
I love when, like, you have these moments where Spike Lee plays Hype Man in all these different songs, right? Like, nobody else really peeps that during the 90s, he was big on his Hype Man game. Like, he gave Diddy the idea, like, to just jump on songs and say random shit and like, get everybody mad and during the song and then just, like, peacing out. That was Spike Lee shit first. Like, I just want to be clear about that. If you haven't caught on, we're playing that's really, really clear about what's going on here in politics all over the world. I know we're in 192 countries. You're like, I can't vote in D.C. This shit is going on in your voting district, precinct, whatever they call it, where you are from. So just apply it to the candidates on your ballot, on your already serving you. If this is not an election year for you, but you've always got to be mindful. We're going into a larger conversation about these issues, Jeremy, but you said something previously in your statements that I wanted to highlight and really dig deeper into. You were talking about how candidates right now really aren't saying anything of substance. And I completely and totally concur. But I wanted to dig into if you thought that that lack of substance was also intentional. If they didn't really want to be held to any commitments that could bring about sustained change and choose language that then puts them in a position to not have to do so. Is that something that you see is prevalent in politics around these parts of town?
Absolutely. You know, these days politicians, they believe, well, people running for office, they believe the less you say, the more appealing you are to most people, you know? The more likely you are to rein in the donations, you know? And the more you speak out, the more you take an issue that's usually on the side of working people, of poor people, then, you know, you don't get no money, you don't get no support, you don't get no donations. You know, people find you as being controversial because you want to talk about homelessness, because you want to talk about, you know, working class people, you know. And so that's not the type of campaign we're going to run. But that is the type of campaign a lot of people are going to run, you know, especially.
So, you know, I'm a believer that when I'm speaking to a candidate, I don't talk about the other candidates. I talk about that candidate. So, you know, those people don't exist today from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But the issues are really real. Talked about universal child care. I want to start by highlighting the issues that are important to you and then kind of asking some questions about some things that are important to me. But can you delve into what it looks like as you being our council member in the fight?
Good to see you again. Yeah. I'm sorry, say that question again. Phil Pinnell was next to me and he was kind of loud.
Oh, yes. Phil Pinnell is always in the building. Icon in Ward 8 just celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday to him. What I was saying was that we find oftentimes there are situations in which we're talking about an issue, but we don't know the policies or the current lay of the land with that issue. So I wanted to, can you walk us through the current fight and what you would be doing as council members to bring universal child care to the city? What does that look like? What are the current stages that it's in right now? What do we stand to lose? You're not elected and 4 years goes by with some other random or some familiar sitting in a space being able to decide on that policy. Can we dig into that?
Absolutely. So currently right now in D.C., D.C. has the most unaffordable child care system in the United States. I probably said that to so many people. The number one most expensive child care system in the country is in Washington, D.C. On average, it's $23,000 a year for parents. Parents between the ages of 0 and 3, they're looking at spending, $60,000, up towards $100,000, more than college tuition on their child. So we have a really unaffordable child care system. We also have a system that, needs to be high quality, especially in parts of the city where they tend to be ignored, they tend to have a lot, we have a lot of inequality within our education system, K-12. We also have a lot of inequality within our child care system. So when I say universal child care, I also mean universal high-quality child care, the best child care, not just any old child care. Right now, the state that is in, we don't have that here in Washington, D.C. There have been a number of proposals. Council members have introduced a number of bills to expand access or increase subsidies, which is great, which is a good start, We need to ensure that, parents who need subsidies are able to get subsidies. But in D.C., if you're just above the poverty line, low to middle income, you can't get a subsidy. And so you have to choose between staying home with your child, one of the parents, or if you're a single parent, staying home with your child, or working. And I just met a parent today. I was in Shaw. She told me she can't work because she has a kid, and she wished she could work. Single mom, too. So we're in a bad state here in D.C. I think if elected, the first thing I'm going to do is introduce a piece of legislation that states that D.C. must create a system of high-quality universal child care and select a date, which that must be fully implemented. I believe right now we have universal pre-K, and the pre-K system is pretty good. I think if we extended that out up to 0 and 3, investing the money into our babies, into our youth, I think we'll be on a pathway to universal high-quality child care.
Well, you definitely have a plan there. I wanted to get into the – I live in a food desert. There's no surprise about that. What are you really looking to affect as it relates to food policies here in the city? And again, same question, what are we losing if we don't have you at that table and rather on that menu?
You know, today on my way, you know, I'm at the Anacostia Playhouse right now. On my way here, I was thinking about something Wendy was saying on Facebook. You know, Wendy was talking about, Wendy Glenn, for folks who don't know, is an activist in Washington, D.C., a very passionate advocate for children, for youth. But Wendy Glenn on Facebook was talking about, you know, she can't believe that we have to march for grocery stores in Ward 8 in 2017. You know, it's ridiculous. So some of the things I want to look at around food policy, if elected, currently right now I'm working on a good food purchasing program where I'm trying to change the DC contract to procure healthier, more sustainable foods, high quality foods for all DCPS students, and investing money into the food contract so we can get our babies, we can get our youth better food in the DC public school system. If elected to the council, I want to continue that. I want to continue to make sure that the food that the kids are eating is high quality, good food, breakfast and lunch. And if there's something left over, I think the kids should be able to take that home with them, you know, especially if they're hungry. I don't think any child in Washington, D.C., with the money we got, the mayor said we have more money than we know what to do with. I don't think there should be any child in Washington, D.C. who goes hungry at night. And I think that should be one of our top priorities. As well as in Petworth, I currently live in Petworth now. And then where my apartment is located, there are like three food options, three grocery options within a block. But in Ward 7 and 8, you know, there are two grocery stores, and that's totally unacceptable. So, you know, I'm fully supportive of what the community wants. Let me make that clear. Not what Jeremiah and the council member want, but what the community wants. So making sure, working with council member Trayon White, working with the Ward 7 council member, to make sure that there's always going to be money in the budget to make sure communities and 7 and 8 have grocery options, increased grocery options, increased growth as well, and as well as making sure their voice is heard, you know, not some gentrifying, you know, Whole Foods, but what about a community co-op if the residents want a co-op, or what about another grocery option if the residents want a grocery option, so making sure their voices are heard. So
that's real. We talked about so much. We talked about what it takes to get the child care. We talked about what's on the table with policy. Now let's get into, how does a little black boy decide to be a tree hugger? The environmental piece, particularly in D.C., maybe a far reach for some folks to embrace and or understand. Can you please sort of explain that to the folks listening, why that's an interest and how you think that can bring about change for us? And what we stand, same question as the other pieces of your platform that are very relevant and important.
Absolutely. So, you know, in D.C., in Ward 5, the Rhode Island Avenue area, when they last did testing the children, the residents there had some of the highest rates of asthma out of anywhere else in the United States. D.C. currently has some of the highest utility bills because we're on a unsustainable system. As well as there are plenty of this deal. We had the issue with the lid in the water. And there are still parts of D.C. where landlords completely neglect the concerns of tenants. And that's an environmental justice issue as well. And so for me, I'm really passionate about the environment because, I want to address climate change. But I'm also self-interested, too, because I breathe the air. I get a Pepco bill that's $300 a month sometimes, I drink the water. My family members drink the water. My family members breathe the air. My friends and family get the Pepco bills. So I'm kind of self-interested, because I believe that improving the environment definitely is going to improve for everyone. But it's also going to help my family and my friends and stuff of that nature. So that's the reason why I'm an environmentalist, because at the very basic level of it, I want all of us to have clean water to drink, good air to breathe, and I want to make sure that we all have those lower utility bills by relying more on clean energy as opposed to dirty energy. So
that's definitely a good place to start. Like I said, with your platform and definitely some good analysis around why you're taking that approach. I wanted to ask you about some button issues. But I think it's the perfect time to kind of get into a song, and then we can go a little deeper into some of the plights of the sea.
Hang on to
You make me think we're going to get free tomorrow. Like it's six, coming four, in 5 minutes. Like that one song. Just like all you got to do is push play and free come in the mail. Like seriously. That's how I feel about the song, y'all. I'm saying. That's also, I think that we just lost Jeremiah. So I'm going to be buying him more time. That's also how I feel about your candidacy, though, Jeremiah, while waiting for you to call us back, it's really important that we talk about how we need those who are not your usual suspects to be willing to get in the game and very much, like Jeremiah said, be saying fuck it and throw their hat into, you know, all things politics. I'm so sorry that his call dropped. We're trying to check and see if we're able to get him back on, and while we're waiting, trying to hear more from him, let's get into another song, huh? I'd say it's the perfect time for another song.
You're broken down and tired. Living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains, we gon' walk it out and move mountains. And now silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. sometimes again. And we'll rise up. I like the waves. We'll rise up in spite of the ache. We'll rise up and we'll do it a thousand times again.
We will rise up, Washington, D.C. I'm so inspired by this campaign, as I was stating, because we've really gotten to a place where we aren't playing any politics here in this city. My hope is that Jeremiah is back. We have a caller, number ending in 9634. Did you have a question or a comment for Candace Lowry?
Hey, it's me, Jeremiah. I'm back.
Oh, great. So, I wanted to get
into... Sorry, I got disconnected. My phone died, and I had to use my friend's phone.
That always sucks. I wanted to get into a conversation around the budget. I am a fan of the People's Budget, some organizing work going on with the Future Foundation that's really making sure that citizens know about the budget in a way which is more accessible and really talking about making change in our everyday lives and not just in a handful of issue areas. Can you share your experience around budget advocacy and what you know about the D.C. fiscal budget for our listener?
I'm sorry, say that question again.
Oh, I was saying that before we wrapped up chatting about the issues, I wanted to take a second to delve into the D.C. budget, a bit about the advocacy work you've done in that realm, and what advice you may have for folks or anything you say about the D.C. budget during campaign season. And you know what we stand to lose if you're not fighting for the budget when that time comes around next go.
Let me say, oftentimes the D.C. budget sucks when it comes to funding, you know. The mayor, as I mentioned before, said that D.C. has more money than it knows what to do with, you know. But yet at the same time, year after year, our babies are not being invested in. Year after year, we have a lot of education and inequity in the district. And, you know, the budget usually has some good parts. You know, but for example, recently in the budget, the Treon put some money in there for them to study, to design the plans for a food co-op in Ward 8. I think that's great, but we're building $2 million luxury condos. We're giving subsidies for people to build $2 million luxury condos. You tell me we can't have money in the budget where we can fully fund cooperative food grocery stores in Ward 8? That should have been fully funded. That shouldn't have been $50,000 just to draw the plans up. You need to invest millions of dollars into the residents of D.C. in order to create a food co-op in Ward 8, you know? And so I think then they lose a lot if they don't pay attention to the budget process, because there are a lot of folks out there with their hands open. A lot of them aren't from Ward 8. A lot of them aren't from the people who are most impacted in the district. And so I think people should really, really pay attention to the budget because the council gives away the money like candy to some of the most special interest big donors in the city. And I think if I'm in office, I want to create, at least for my seat, a system of participatory budgeting. So I actually want to get out there into the community, get out there into the civic association, get out there into the community groups, hear from residents about what the people's budget looks like. You know, what do they want in the budget? And that's going to really influence my process, you know, because I'm all about participatory democracy, participatory budgeting, and getting out there, getting my hands dirty and listening to people. So that's what they can come to expect from me if I'm elected into the D.C. Council.
Yes. So we've only got about 10 minutes. And so I really wanted to take a moment and talk about what do you need from the people to win? How can we get behind you and make you council member, Lowry? You need to see what support looks like for you in this campaign.
Well, I'm not accepting corporate donations. I'm not accepting PAC money. I'm not accepting bundled money. So we ain't got our hands tied with wealthy donors. We ain't got our hands tied with donors from Houston, from donors from California and other parts of the country who donate to candidates in the district so they can get, you know, some type of kickback. Let me make this one. Let me put out this one quote. There was recently a report done that showed that the majority of donors in D.C. are actually white males who don't live in D.C., who actually live outside of D.C. Those who the majority of donors are in D.C. I'm sorry, those are the majority of people who donate to campaigns, white males who live outside of Washington, D.C., because they all have their interests. And so for me, I'm not getting any donations from any corporations, any PAC money. And so I definitely need, if you can donate $1, I think that'd be great. If you can donate 50 cents, that'd be great. But if you could donate more, that'd be great. Because, you know, anything and everything that we get in donations goes right into outreach. You know, it goes right into flyers and posters and yard signs, which we need to get our message out there. Another thing is, you know, volunteer if you can. You know, visit my website, Jeremiah2018.com, and get involved. If you can volunteer one day out of election season, I appreciate it. If you can volunteer more days out of election season, I very much appreciate it, you know. So volunteer and donate. That's it, because we're strictly grassroots. We have no other interest in this race besides helping the people. So I hope folks get out there and support me. Jeremiah2018.com.
Yes, some people may be listening to this and considering if they in fact will run for office. To those other prospective Jeremiahs out there,
if you have the time, you know, and if you are passionate about a particular issue or issues, do it. Do it, because, you know, I say this to everyone, no one's going to talk about your issues unless you talk about them. You know, those things that you talk about at the kitchen table with your friends, you know, hanging out with your friends, those things, that issues y'all are very passionate about, the mayoral candidates are not going to talk about it. City council candidates most likely are not going to talk about it. So if you want those issues brought to the table, sometimes you got to jump in there and do it yourself. You got to pick up a clipboard and do it. So I really encourage people, especially black people, black young progressives in the city, to run for office, change the game. You know, the city's changing. And if you want to do something, you know, as Trayon says, you got to jump in there and do something. You know, just don't stand there and do something. You know, I think running for office is a part of that. So I really encourage people to run for office. Whether, and it doesn't have to be D.C. Council. It could be ANC. You know, some of these ANC members are kind of bought and paid for. So, you know, I really encourage people to vote, to run for ANCs, to run for whatever you think that you think. You know, your voice is being heard, run for that position. So
that sounds amazing. I want to get to one more thing before you leave. Give the folks your website one more time. You made a Facebook post where you were basically saying that people asked you if who are you running against, and you stated that you were running against the issues. So can you speak to the listeners who may not be your Facebook friend, may not have seen that post? Can you share that message with the people? Because it really resonated with me.
Absolutely. You know, I get, you know, when I'm out and about D.C., people across the city always ask me, who am I running against? And I usually tell them I'm running against nobody. You know, there's plenty of things. I'm not running against a single person. What I am running against is homelessness in the city. I am running against hunger, the fact that we have high rents and high child care bills. I tell people I have no issue against any single person. And there are plenty of things for me and the people who support our team to be against. You know, there's plenty of issues for us to be against without having to target any specific individual or person, you know, because we're about the issues. We're about transforming the city. You know, I tell people you can replace Titian, but if the system remains intact, things don't change. And so there's plenty of issues and system change policies that we want to see implemented
without having to attack anybody or call anybody out. So
there we have it. What's the website for the people?
Jeremiah2018.com, Jeremiah2018.com. Whatever you do, get involved. The time is now. It's not tomorrow. It's now. It's today. So.
Thank you so much for your time. We're going to close out with Uprising by Muse.
Thank you. I appreciate it.